This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Tonight I begin a four-part sermon series entitled Stirring Up. This four-part sermon series will take place during our three midweek Advent services plus our Christmas Eve service. And the focus of each of the four sermons will be as follows. Tonight's sermon's focus is covenant. Next Wednesday, we will learn about grace. 2 weeks from tonight, we will learn about God's gift of empowerment. And then finally, at our Christmas Eve service, we will learn about the intimacy that Jesus gives us. Now, during each of these sermons, we will learn how God stirs up His power and comes among us in order to give each of us these gifts I mentioned. We will also learn how God stirs up our hearts so that we can receive each of these gifts in faith rather than pushing them away. With that said, let's continue with this evening's sermon about covenant. Now, what does that word covenant have to do with the Advent and Christmas season? Well, first we have to understand what that word covenant actually means. Normally when we hear that word covenant, we think of a promise or a contract between two people. For example, when two people make a covenant with each other, each person promises to be committed to his or her part of the covenant agreement. Now, of course, a covenant is only as good as the commitment of the individuals involved. If one of the people involved doesn't keep his or her promise, then the covenant is broken. For example, when a man and a woman get married, they each promise to be faithful to each other and to remain committed to each other until death do us part. But I don't have to tell you how we sinners all mess up God's gift of marriage. In our culture, almost 50% of marriages end in divorce, even among Christians. As for the marriages that do stay together, well, even they're not perfect, are they? You would be hard-pressed to find any marriage where both the husband and wife had not sinned against each other in some way, shape, or form. Another example of modern-day covenants is various business contracts. For example, when you purchase a product, the one who made the product promises that it will function properly, and in turn, the one who buys the product promises to pay for it. However, when one party in a business contract fails to uphold his or her promise, the covenant is then broken. At this point, people in our culture usually make use of the legal system in order to fix such problems. If a law was actually broken, well then the guilty party may suffer some form of punishment. With that understood, I'd now like to point out that there was a very interesting covenant ritual that took place among people during Old Testament times. Simply put, when two people were making a business deal, they would hold each other accountable by cutting a covenant. Now, how did that all work? Well, we're not sure about all the details, but from the ancient literature that has been studied, it has been determined that those making the covenant with each other would take part in the following public ritual. Simply put, in front of witnesses, they would slaughter animals and cut them in half. They would then take these animal body parts, set them opposite each other a few feet between the parts. Then the animal blood was poured on the open ground between these divided animals. After this, the two people making the covenant would walk side by side on the bloody ground between the slaughtered animals. Now, in doing this, they were witnessing in public, saying, "If I fail to hold up my end of the covenant, then may I end up just like these slaughtered animals around me." Wow. I guess those guys took their business deals very seriously. In fact, in those ancient times, people who broke their covenant promise promises were often punished severely. Sometimes they were even killed. Well, now that we understand the background of the covenant ritual during biblical times, we're ready to understand how God makes use of that covenant ritual to make a spiritual point. Simply put, throughout history, we sinners have been guilty of trying to cut deals with God. You know how it goes. God, if you will do such and such for me, I promise to do such and such for you. But sadly, time after time, we sinners are guilty of not being faithful to our end of the covenant. Even though God is faithful to us, we are guilty of sinning against His will time and again. Therefore, God would often rebuke His Old Testament people by using covenant language. Let me give you an example. During the time of the prophet Jeremiah, God's people had failed to live up to the promises they had made to God. I want you now to listen to what God says to them in the midst of their rebellion. In Jeremiah chapter 34, hear these words of God. The men who have violated my covenant and have not fulfilled the terms of the covenant they made before me, I will treat like the calf they cut in two and then walk between its pieces. Wow. Those are shocking words to hear from God, aren't they? But you see, that's how God has to talk to us if we think we can cut deals with Him. You see, we sinners can never uphold our promises to be faithful to God because we're constantly sinning against God by our thoughts, by our words, and by our deeds. So if God were to be just and give us what we deserve, we would be cut off from His love for all eternity. But now, we're ready to hear the good news. You see, God has established a covenant with us that is based on pure, unconditional grace. Remember our Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 15? God had promised Abraham that one of his descendants would be the Savior of all nations. In addition, God promised that He would bring Abraham's descendants into a land of their own where they would wait for this promised Savior. But then Abraham said, O Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? Now, did Abraham doubt God's promise? No. Because earlier in the reading we heard that Abraham believed God. So, what's Abraham concerned about then? Well, Abraham actually doubts himself. He knows that he's a sinner, and he knows that his descendants will be sinners. So Abraham is concerned that their sin will nullify the covenant and result in them losing all of God's promises. God then does something awesome for Abraham and for us. In our reading from Genesis 15, we hear God tell Abraham to slaughter animals, cut them in half, and make a covenant with a blood path, just like the ones used in that day. After Abraham did this, God then appeared in visible form as a glowing fire pot. You see, God would often make such appearances in Old Testament history. We think of God appearing to Moses in a burning bush. We think of God appearing in a pillar of fire as He guided His people through the desert to the promised land. However, when God appears to Abraham in this form, something very strange happens. God Himself, and only God Himself, moves through the covenant blood path. Now that's odd. Normally both people walk through the path, but in this case, God, and only God, walks through the covenant blood path. What is God saying to Abraham and to us? God is here teaching us that even though we sinners break our end of the covenant and thereby deserve God's present and eternal punishment, God Himself will take our punishment upon Himself, even though has been completely faithful to his end of the covenant. Simply put, God is teaching Abraham and us that we can come to God with our sins and know that he will not give us the punishment that we deserve. Why not? Because God gave our punishment to Jesus. God forgives those who repent of their sin and trust in Jesus. Jesus who walked the blood path for us sinners so that we might not lose out on God's promises. Remember our reading from Hebrews? Let me read part of it again. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Simply put, the first covenant refers to the animal sacrifices that were pictures of the real sacrifice of Jesus that saves us. But you see, those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, they could never save people from their sins. You see, those sacrifices were only pictures, pictures of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the believers in the Old Testament offer sacrifices in faith and look forward to the day when the Savior would come and walk the blood path for us sinners. However, we believers today, we can look back in history and see how God kept his promise. Now in our gospel reading, we heard how Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night before his death on the cross. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So whenever you receive the Lord's Supper, Jesus is coming to you with the same gift he gave all believers throughout history, so that we might receive the blessings of the new covenant. In fact, the only thing that actually keeps us from receiving the blessings of the new covenant is our own stubborn unbelief. If we refuse to acknowledge the guilt of our sin, or if we try to make deals with God in the hope that he will ignore our sin, well then, we have absolutely no hope. If we reject the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, then we must pay the price for our own sin. And that means we will get what we deserve, and we will be cut off from God's love forever. But God doesn't want that for you. That's why he pleads with you and with all people to repent of our sin and come to him in humble faith, trusting in his Son who walked the blood path for you and me. Jesus made a covenant with you, sealed by his own blood. And even though we are often unfaithful, he will always be faithful to his promise to forgive those who repent and trust in him. So now we know how the covenant applies to this Advent and Christmas season. You see, during Advent, we meditate on the ways that Jesus comes into the world to save us sinners, with special focus on Christ's birth. In fact, you could say that Christmas is really all about the covenant. You see, the reason that Jesus took on human flesh was so that his body could be nailed to the cross. He was born in a manger so that he could grow up and walk the blood path for us. Tonight, God stirred up his power. The power of his gospel covenant, which stirs up our hearts so that we can repent of our sins and trust in his promises. The good news of God's gospel covenant stirs up our hearts so that every day we die to sin and joyfully strive to live for our Savior, who loved us so much that he walked the blood path for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.